It portends peril. It hides things. It puts us at a disadvantage because it withholds from us. It is empty of light and warmth. It obscures clarity and understanding. And it seduces us into confusion and doubt. Most of us don't want to venture into the dark, particularly alone. And when it overtakes us as it does, whether it be by a worrisome diagnosis, a disintegrating marriage, an act of prejudice, an unexpected death, or a reversal of our circumstances, it erodes our sense of well-being and reminds us how very vulnerable we are. It was still dark. This darkness lingers. It gives no hint of retreating. It opens its wide, hungry mouth and sucks away our fortitude. It lingers and thereby protracts and takes malicious delight in our anxiety. But while it was still dark, Mary came. While it was dark, even in the face of that interminable pre-dawn darkness, she came. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene left the comfort of her house and set out. She did not wait for first light, not even a faint streak of gray. But while there was no promise at all that the dawn would ever come again, she came. We sit in the darkness this morning, a darkness symbolic of the hopelessness introduced by Jesus' death, but symbolic too of the darkness in our world today. Its confusion and terror and the uncertainty it inspires and the sightless clasping and grasping it spawns. And it is symbolic of our own personal, private darkness with its secrets and regrets, shadows and doubts. A darkness that lurks in the recesses of our heart. A darkness that steals our joy and erodes our hope. But even while it is still dark, we can rise and walk. But where? Where do we go from here?
Mary Magdalene came to the tomb.
We walk to a tomb, to a burial ground. We walk in the dark to a place of death. Why is this so? And what good can come of this? It appears foolhardy and senseless, but this is where we go. We, like Mary, venture into the dark to spend time with that which is dead, that dark place in us. We hold vigil over those impulses and needs and hungers which have no nourishment, which drain us of energy and which seek to swallow us whole. They are dead things, and there is no life in them. But we bring expensive incense and myrrh with which to anoint them. We do this as individuals. We do this corporately. But like Mary, some of us come with another purpose in mind.
Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb.
Mary came to the tomb to mourn. And some of us come to mourn as well. We come to grieve and to repent of those things within us and in the world that lead to death. We name our own complicity and our sorrow for it. This is the journey to the abyss, and it is full of terror. That is why many of us shun this hard thing, why we do not walk that path with Mary, and it is why we want to fuss with incense and myrrh and busyness of burial. If we pause, you see, if we truly realize where it is we stand and what has brought us here, we too would weep. Tears of grief and of fear would overwhelm us. The anguish of losing our sense of well-being and the facade of our own goodness would reduce us to sobbing. This we share with Mary, but there is one thing we do not share with her. When Mary walked out of her door that dark day, she was going to anoint the dead body of life itself. The body of one who had parted the heavens and given her a glimpse of a reality wherein torments and suffering and anxiety and fear were completely vanquished. She came to the tomb, a tomb that held the dead body of her and humankind's last hope. Some of us here today know what it's like to lose that last hope. What we do not comprehend is what is on the other side of that loss. But Mary leads us. As she weeps, she bends. She bends and she looks into the tomb, willing to look death full in the face. But what does she see?
And she saw two. She turned around and she saw Jesus standing there.
And this is the great grand truth. The impossible is possible. There is healing for every wound. There is forgiveness for every wrong. There is hope for every hopeless moment. This is the grand, great truth, my friends. The abyss is toothless. The tomb is empty. Light breaks forth, angels greet us, and we see the eternal Alpha and Omega, the one who is life and light, standing before us, calling our name. We have to face the dark. We have to walk to the tomb and mourn, surely. But when we get there, we find God. And we discover the love that is very much alive and calling us by name. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise the Lord in the heights.
Let us praise the name of the Lord.
Whose name alone is exalted.
Whose glory is above the earth and heaven.
Sing for joy, O heavens.
And exalt, O earth.
Break forth, O mountains, into singing. Christ has been raised from the dead. Where, O death
is your victory. Everybody gets to say that.
Where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sting?
Praise be to God. You may be seated. Go forth now victorious, taking the power and the presence of the risen Lord to that world, right? In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our comfort and guide, one God, ever and always. Amen.